and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, today I would like to talk about the issue of social class in England. England is known to be a country that is somehow obsessed with social class and very interested in social class. In essence, what I want to look at is a new paper which has demonstrated something we all knew, really, which is that there is a strong genetic component to social class. And this is the reason why, although, of course, people do move between social classes, people do move up and people do move down, it is relatively rare. Social class is persistent in England. Social class differences are persistent in England and they are very noticeable. And a reason for this basically is that its social class is strongly genetic. And I think this is particularly important today, as I'm recording this, because there was just earlier today a car crash in Wimbledon in southwest London. And when it was first reported, it was reported that a car had crashed into a primary school, a Range Rover. And then suddenly the reporting changed. A Range Rover had crashed into a prep school. And it was obviously felt by the people that were the editors and whatever, that this was worth putting in, this was worth commenting on. And by commenting on it, of course, they were bringing in elements of social class, because 93% of the population of England go to a primary school where there are no tuition fees. But 7% of the population go to a prep school. This is a private primary school, the top, the richest 7%, the upper class and the upper echelons of the upper middle class go to a prep school. And immediately social class was therefore being introduced. So this only goes to show, I think, that those that suggest that social class is not as important in England as it used to be are talking nonsense. Now, the paper I want to look at was inspired by another paper entitled The Inheritance of Social Status, England, 1600 to 2022 by Gregory Clark, published in PNAS, that is to say, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. And the response paper, which in some ways is even more interesting because it clarifies the genetic components of this, was The Heritability and Persistence of Social Class in England by James Lee. Now, what Gregory Clark showed, based on various measures that he employed, that there's no need to go into now, but what he showed is that social class in England across that period of time is very strongly heritable. People that are related to each other across a number of generations will tend to have the same social class. People who are related to each other at the level of cousins, second cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins, there is a strong relationship between what social class they are, such that we can talk about it being heritable. People that are related to each other are much more closely aligned in terms of their socioeconomic status on different measures than are people that are less related to each other. Such that he concluded cautiously, but he concluded that the heritability of social class across that period in England was 0.79, with one being an absolute heritability. So this is showing you that this social class is strongly heritable. And what that implies, in so much as what makes a person of high or low social class, is issues such as their intelligence, which is about has a very strong genetic component, issues such as their personality, again, a very strong genetic component, is that genetics is playing a significant role in social class differences. Now, this James Lee fellow then looks at this paper and he argues, well, we've been interested for the last over a century in why it is that social class differences are so persistent in England, so unchanging in England. And Ronald Fisher, a century ago, noted that the correlation of relatives in terms of social class can be explained by a combination of their genetics, which is equal to the heritability, times their assortative mating. Now, this is important because this is showing you what's going on. It's two factors that make the heritability so strong. First of all, it's the heritability of the traits which will cause you to differ in terms of social class. And let us assume this is things such as intelligence and personality and so on. But then there is another factor, which is that people are evolved to search out similarity. In general, people are attracted to those that are genetically similar to themselves. And this is particularly prominent in terms of the people with whom they mate. And they engage in this assortative mating because if you marry somebody who is relatively genetically similar to you, then you are, of course, passing on more of your genes. That is the key reason to do so from a genetic perspective. You are motivated, you are programmed to pass on as many genes as possible of your genes as possible. If you mate with someone that's too closely related to you, well, that's no good. You're going to get double doses of harmful mutations, and you know, that's obviously a problem in breeding. But if you mate with someone that is reasonably closely related to you, then of course you are passing on an optimum higher level of your genes. And this is why there is evidence that married couples tend to be significantly more related than two random members of the population. Indeed, the genetic relationship between married couples is as high as 0.57. So therefore, we can see what's going on. There are two factors involved. There's the heritability of the traits involved in that predict social class, and there's the fact that people assortedly mate for those precise traits, which then, of course, further predict social class. Now, in the study, it was found, depending on the measure that you use, and the state and the status and of the time period, that the heritability of social class ranged from about 0.19 to about 0.72. And what explains it, of course, is simply this matter of assortative mating. As Lee demonstrates, there is a clear strong correlation between not just a father and a son's occupational status, but the occupational status of a groom and his father-in-law. The genetic scores on education and so forth among spouses are very strongly correlated. In fact, they correlate above what you would expect in terms of the heritability. So it's as if people really are consciously and deliberately selecting for very fine-grained differences in social class, above what would be expected in terms of the heritability of these traits. They are strongly selecting for this kind of stuff. And in general, grooms and brides are very, very much of the same social class. On many, many measures, they are of the same social class, of precisely the same kind of background. And thus you end up with a very, very strong heritability of social class of 0.79, of essentially 0.8. And what he argues, Lee, in his commentary, is that really there seems to be some sort of latent factor, which is essentially strongly genetic in nature, which explains about 0.8 of all of these relationships between spouses and so on. There's something that's acting underneath everything, a latent factor that explains basically about 80% of what's going on. This seems to be genetic differences. This seems to be this very, very strong assortative mating in terms of spouses. And as long as that goes on, then you cannot get significant changes in social class. People will inherit the traits which bring about social class differences, and then they will marry others that have inherited those exact same traits, which put them in the exact same or pretty much exact same social class. And therefore, social class differences will continue and will only break up when there's some sort of massive revolution or something. But even then, they will sort of come back somehow. So I thought that was rather fascinating and was worth presenting to you. And I hope that's a bit of interest. And goodbye. Would you like to move beyond a Boomer and Sprint delivering content from his cellar? What about a Boomer and Sprint delivering content into a drone? Tally-ho! How? By supporting the Jolly Heretic Experience and specifically our upcoming documentary on intelligence and the future of civilization. We will take a trip to the world of the future, action, adventure, and of course, based science. We will present all of the evidence that intelligence is behind the rise and fall of civilization. Along the way, we will trigger academics, befriend ghetto dwellers, and travel to strange and dangerous places. In fact, we might not come back alive!
You may ask where all the money goes. There's a lot. There's travel expenses, there's transport, there's my crew. I can't do it all by myself. I mean, after all, I've been locked in a basement for the last 4 years.
So prove your dissident status with money. Stop virtue signalling, put your money where your mouth is, and become a paid subscriber. It was never this cheap to save the world, or at least watch it burn in 4K.
And
And if you have really deep pockets, then why not become a founding member of our Substack? For $500 a year, you'll get your name in all of the credits of all our documentaries, and you'll even get a phone call with the landlord himself.